preach on this thought. I want to preach on burn your plow.
Come on.
Burn
Come on.
Your plow. I say as we look into these verses here this morning, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote in Colossians 1 and 16. Speaking of God, he said that all things were made by him and for him. Now listen, we don't have any issues. I'm sure if I was to ask the majority of the people, Brother Mark, in this church, do you believe all things were made by him? You'd say, whoop. Amen, preacher, goes right there. But listen, he didn't just say by him. Brother, he said all things were made for him. Do you recognize that this morning, that we were not just made by him, but we were made for him? You were made for his pleasure. You were made for his purpose. You were made to pursue him. You were made that he might have the preeminence in your life.
Amen.
I've often said people don't mind him being their Savior. It's him being their Lord that they have issues with.
Go ahead.
It's quiet now, amen. It'll get better. But I said we don't mind him being Savior. It's him being Lord that we sometimes have an issue with. But oh, I pray not only this morning, but down through this week in revival, there'll be some daddies and mommies and some mamas and papas and some husbands and wives and sons and daughters that are just going to be willing to light the match and burn the plow and say, Lord, I'm all in to serve you and to do your will what time I'm here in this world. Oh, I want to preach on burn your plow. Notice this, that God sends Elijah down to Elisha. Oh, the son of Shaphat there and Abel-Meholah sends him down to anoint him to be a prophet. Now, I want you to know Elisha is not doing anything wrong. He's out plowing the field. And by the way, can I say this? If you're plowing a field and it takes 12 yoke of oxen to do it, well, that's a big field, brother. Amen. That's a big field. And hey, listen, they were plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha was doing nothing wrong. Elisha was just doing what he did. He was living his life. He was doing his thing. When he woke up that morning, he had a to-do list on his mind, and he was just going down, checking off his to-do list. He knew he had some plowing to do, and so he yoked up that 12th yoke of oxen and went out there and began to plow the field. He was not doing anything wrong. He was just living his life, and he was just doing his thing. And he woke up that morning, and he had his own plans, and he had his own agenda, and he had his own schedule, and he had his own life to live. But how many times has God stepped in to the middle of your life and said, I know you've got plans, and I know you have an agenda, and I know you have a schedule, but I'm just here to let you know I've got a purpose and a plan for you as well. And how many times have we found that our schedule does not always coincide with God's? How many times has he showed up and didn't ask for your permission just to step into the middle of your life and say, I know you had this on your mind, but I've got something else. I know you was headed this direction, but I've got another direction. I know you had your to-do list, but my to-do list trumps yours. And how many know God will step into the middle of your life and rearrange things for you every now and then? Oh, we don't always like that. And sometimes that's a little uncomfortable.
Come on.
But how many times has God done that and we found out his way was a whole lot better than ours? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. And oh, I'm telling you, his way is better than mine, and his plan is better than mine. And oh, thank God, I'm glad he loves me enough to step in to the middle of my life and let me know he's got a plan and a purpose for me. Amen. And so this morning, I want to preach just a little while on burn your plow. You may be saved and serving God, and listen, like I said, you got your agenda, you got your schedule, you got your plan, but I pray this week God will just show up and let you know what he has for you, amen, what he has for me. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, I'm glad, listen, that if you are willing to burn your plow, God will do things in your life, and God will do things in your home, and God will do things in your family that you even never thought possible. Amen. I want to preach a little while on burn your plow. Just three things. Don't get nervous. I've only got 3 points, and here's the first one. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. I see the calling. I see the calling. Look at verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Oh, there's about three of you there. Praise God. Chapter 19, verse 19, the Bible said that Elijah goes down to where Elisha is. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And the Bible said Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. I'm talking about Elijah just walks by and takes his mantle and lays that across the shoulders of Elisha. Do you know that mantle was a covering? It represents the anointing. It represents the work of the Holy Ghost right there in the middle of that plowed field, right there in the middle of his work, right there in the middle of his to-do list. God sends Elijah. He drapes the mantle over Elisha's shoulders. He's being chosen. He's being called. He's being anointed to be a prophet of God, not a plowman, but a prophet. Amen. Listen, not just a farmhand, but a prophet. Hey, God is calling him. God said, I want him. And Elijah comes and lays the mantle across his shoulders. And I told you, it represents the anointing. It represents the Holy Ghost of God in his life. You know, I believe this week, today, and in revival, listen, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to come by. I believe he's just going to take the mantle, and I believe he's just going to drape that across the shoulders of some folk here. Look up in here. Don't get nervous. But I believe this week in revival, God's going to do some calling. Amen. I see the calling. Oh, listen, there's a lot of callings that God will place upon our life. Can I give you some? You might as well amen, and I'm going to anyway. I believe for some of you, look up in here, friend, if you're here today lost and undone, I believe somebody's going to get a call unto salvation. Amen. Stand up, brother. Would you stand up? Oh, listen, Elisha's out there plowing with them yoke of oxen. Here comes the man of God. Whoop. And drapes the mantle across his shoulders. Hey, man, listen, God said, I'm calling you. I'm anointing you. I'm calling you. Hey, listen, I believe there'll be some of you this week, and you'll get a call unto salvation. Oh, yes, no wonder why the Apostle Paul has said in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save sinners, to save sinners. How many's glad that God still saves old sinners? How many's glad that Christ Jesus came to save sinners? Paul said, of whom I am chief. Oh, thank God, some of you would get a call to salvation. Oh, I'll be 50 this year. Be 50, but I remember, as a 16-year-old boy, I was at Bible camp. Listen, so lost and undone. And oh, I remember, listen, that week, that old-fashioned leather-lunged preacher got up and told me about Jesus. I couldn't quote John 3:16, recite the Lord's Prayer, or tell you the 23rd Psalm. But there I was, a skinny, long-haired 16-year-old boy. Hard to believe, amen. Skinny. Long-haired 16-year-old boy, and here come the Holy Ghost of God, and he draped the mantle across my shoulders, and brother, he called me to salvation, thank God. Oh, listen, I came the best way I knew, prayed the best way I knew to pray, and someone said, what happened that night? Well, I'll just tell you, the long arm of God's grace and the nail-scarred hand of Jesus reached way below the bottom and pulled me up out of the miry pit of sin and washed me in his own rich red, raw, redeeming blood. And all I can tell you is I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell because I got a call. I got a call. I got a call to salvation. Amen. And I believe there'll be some of you here this morning that the Holy Ghost will come and just drape the mantle over you. And God will call you to himself because he means to save you, friend. He don't want you to die lost and go to hell. He loves you so good that he sent his own son and went to the cruel cross of Calvary where he died for your sins. And today, right here on Camp Creek Road at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, you'll get a call to salvation. And brother, he can save you and deliver you and give you a brand new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hold on a second. Good preaching, brother. Preach on. Amen. I believe I will. Woo. There is a burning, blistering, brimstone hell, but I'm not going. Because I got a call to salvation. Now, there'll be some of you, you'll get a call, but it'll be a call to restoration. Oh yes, there's some of you here this morning. There was a time that you were saved and serving God faithfully and fervently. But maybe this morning, if I was to be honest and ask you, how's everything with you and the Lord? You'd say, preacher, it's not what it ought to be. I don't love him like I once loved him, and I'm not serving him like I once served him, and I've not been as faithful as I know I should be. And there's some of you that have gotten so far from him the FBI couldn't find you. Oh, I believe you're in the right spot this morning, because there'll be some that'll get a call to salvation. But oh, I believe, Brother David, stand up, and there'll be some that the Holy Ghost of God will just come by your way and whoop, he'll drape the mantle on you, and he'll call you, friend. He'll call you, and it'll be a call under restoration. Oh, yes, I'm glad for 1 John 1 and 9. He said, listen, he said that if you would confess your sin, the Bible said he is faithful. He is faithful. Oh, yes, he is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all of your sin. Oh, thank God for a God like that, that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful to cleanse you from all your sin and your unrighteousness. Oh, what a God. Oh, listen, you may have messed up. You may have gotten away from God. You may be out of his will. Oh, you may be in disobedience. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God is going to come this week and drape the mantle on you. And he's going to call you unto himself because he loves you too good to let you stay where you are. And he wants to restore you back to God. He wants to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. He wants to do a work in you. Thank God you'll get a call to restoration. Amen. Aren't you glad God just doesn't say, well, let them go. Let them go to hell. If they don't love me no more than that, if they can't be no more faithful than that, let them go. I'm glad he don't do that. Oh, listen. If you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, the Bible said, 1 John 1, 9, he's faithful, friend. You may not have been faithful, but he's faithful. Oh, thank God. When I'm not faithful, he's still faithful. And the Holy Ghost of God may walk right into your pew this morning and drape the mantle on you, and he'll call you, and it'll be a call to restoration. And then there'll be some of you, you'll get a call. It'll be a call, don't get nervous, to sanctification. Amen. Woo. Amen. Don't get quiet now, church, amen. Hey, sanctification ain't a Pentecostal word. It's not a Baptist word. It's a Bible word. And there'll be some of you, brother, stand up. There'll be some of you, you'll get a call to sanctification. I mean, you're just living your life, doing your thing, minding your own business, and all of a sudden God just comes by and, hey, you know why he does that? You know why you'll get a call? Because he wants more of you, amen. Thank God you'll get a call to sanctification. I believe it was in 2 Timothy 2 and 21. The old preacher began to counsel the young preacher about purging some things from his life. And he said, listen, he said, if you'll do that, he said, you'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified, sanctified, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Oh, listen, can I tell you, when he saved me, he had a purpose and a plan. You know what that was? To conform me into the image of his own dear son. Oh, yes. Someone said rightly one time, listen, salvation is to get you out of Egypt, and discipleship is to get Egypt out of you. And I'm glad he loves me enough to continue to do a sanctifying work, because let's be honest, friend, there's some things in our life. There's some things that we let go. There's some things that we partake of that the Lord's not pleased with. And oh, I'm glad he's still working on me to deal with me. There may be some of you that you've lowered your standards. There's some of you, you've compromised your convictions. There's some of you that said, well, you know, that ain't so bad. Everybody else is doing it. But oh, can I tell you, I believe he'll just come by your way and he'll call you. He'll call you and it'll be a call to sanctification, and he'll let you know there's some things you need to pray about. There's some things you need to let go. There's some things you need to quit doing. There's some things you need to get away from. Thank God he loves me enough to call me, and it'll be a call to sanctification. Amen. And can I just tell you, this year will be 34 years that I've been saved and serving God, and he still drapes a mantle on my shoulders and says, you need to not do that.
Amen.
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't let that go on. No, no. And he'll drape that mantle on me, and it'll be a call to sanctification, to draw me nearer to him and make me more what I ought to be, and purge those things from my life so that I can be a vessel of honor, sanctified for his use. Thank God, saint of God, you may have been saved a long time. You may have been in the church a long time, but this week in revival, aren't you glad God does things in revival he don't do any other time? And he'll come by your way and drape the mantle on you, and he'll call you to a closer walk. He'll call you to sanctification. Amen. There'll be some, you'll get a call. It'll be a call to consecration. I'm still on point one, but don't get nervous. The other two don't last as long. Stand up, Brother Mark. A call to consecration. Hey, living your life, doing your thing. Well, I got this to do, that to do, got to go here, got to do this. Well, you know, this is my plans. And oh, God, just come by and say, I got another plan for you, Elisha. Oh, I know you've been a good farmer and all, but I got something more important for you. Oh, I know you're doing some temporal things, but I got some eternal things for you to take care of. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll drape the mantle on you, and you'll get a call to consecration. No wonder why in Ephesians 4:1, the old apostle, brother, preacher Tim said this. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That word vocation there in the Greek is the word klesis, and it just simply means calling. He's saying, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Can I tell you, I believe there's some folk here this week, you'll get the call to consecration, because there's a specific work. There's a specific calling that God has placed upon you to step up and begin to do. Now look up here. I got saved at 16 years old. June, on a Tuesday night, June the 26th, 1990, he saved my sorry soul. In the late fall of that year, God began to deal with my heart about preaching his word. Now listen, I hear preachers all the time talk about running from God. Man, I was so ignorant. I didn't know nothing about running. I was just glad to be saved. I was going to Sunday school. I was going to Sunday school. I was going to Sunday school. I was going to youth group. I'd show up for work day. You knew I meant business, brother. I showed up for work day with all them 80-year-old men ready to work and do something for God. Hey, I was just excited about being saved, wanting to do something for the Lord. And so when he called me to preach, I just said, whoop, sign me up. I'll preach, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now listen, you may not be called to preach, but I guarantee you, when you get put in the body of Christ, you have a purpose. You have a job.
Amen.
You have a work.
Amen.
Your job may not be my job, and my job may not be your job. This brother teaches Sunday school. This brother has work at his church. This sister plays piano. Some of you are on the visitation. Look up in here, friend. Don't put me in the nursery. That's not my calling. Don't put me in there with 10 children under the age of 2. I'll go crazy. And don't call me if you need some electrical work done. unless you've got real good insurance. Don't call me to plumb the bathroom. You don't want that. But you want me to preach, I'll come and I'll do the best I can. Listen, you got a job and I got a job. And there's some of you, listen, he didn't save you to stand on the sidelines and be a spectator. He saved you to get in the game and be a participator. Your job is as important as mine. I can't do your job. The hand has got a job. The foot's got a job. The eye's got a job. The ear's got a job. Walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I believe that some folks like to go to bigger churches where they could just be a face in the crowd. There's no accountability. There's nothing required of them. They could just come as they were, leave as they was. Don't ask me to do nothing. I'm just showing up. But listen, friend, you'll get a call. Was you consecration? Hey, you'll get a call. I believe some of you this week, the Lord's saying, I'm going to call you. I've been dealing with you. I've been speaking to you. I've got work for you to do. It's time to step up and get to work because the time is short, friend. Amen. Amen. Can I say one more before I move on to point number two? Amen. Listen, we'll get a call this week. It may be to salvation. It may be to restoration. It may be sanctification. It may be the consecration. Some of us are going to get a call to dedication. Amen. To dedication. Amen. How many know? Stand up, brother. How many know 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Oh, yes. Oh, can I just tell you, listen, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, he said, a faithful man, who can find? It's hard to find a faithful man. It's hard to find a faithful woman. But every saint of God that's been born again has been called to be faithful. And maybe this week, the Holy Ghost of God will come and drape the mantle on your shoulders, and you'll get a call to dedication. Oh, listen, maybe it's time to be more dedicated to the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it. Maybe you'll get a call to be more dedicated to be a person of prayer. Maybe you'll be called to be more dedicated to be a soul winner. Maybe you'll get a call to be more dedicated to serve in your church. Maybe you'll get a call to be more dedicated to show up at church. Maybe you'll be called to be more dedicated, daddy, to be a spiritual leader in your home. Maybe you'll get a call, mommy, to be a better example to your family. Oh, whatever it is, I believe this week in revival, we're going to get a call. We're going to get a call, and some of us are going to get a call to dedication. Amen. Amen. To dedication. Listen, it ain't shouting preaching, but it's good preaching. Amen. Amen. Elijah got a call. He was out minding his business, doing his thing, living his life, and God sent the man of God, put the mantle on his shoulders. God said, I'm calling you. It may be a call to salvation. Oh, lost friend, you need to be saved. It may be a call to restoration. Wayward friend, you need to come home. It may be a call to sanctification, church. We got to draw close to Christ and be more like him. Amen. It might be a call to consecration. We need to get to work. It may be a call to dedication. We need to be faithful. Oh, whatever it is, let God speak to you, friend, and answer the call. Answer the call. Amen. Well, I see the calling. But number two, can I say this? I see the commitment. I see the commitment. Someone said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Listen, Elisha said, man, he said, let me, I pray thee, go kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee. Can I just say this by a side note? He was not making excuses. He was not backing up on God. He was not saying, well, you know, that's all good for some, but I just ain't ready for that. I'm not ready for that kind of commitment. Well, that's good for some, but it ain't good for me. And, well, you know, I've got other plans. He was not making excuses. He was beginning the process of getting committed. He said, well, I've got some things I need to deal with real quick, but you mark her down, Elijah. I'm coming. Let me go kiss mom and dad. Let me say goodbye to them. And you know what Elijah said? He said, go ahead. He said, what have I to do with thee? You know what Elijah was telling Elisha? Son, this is between you and God. I ain't the one that called you. Look up here. It ain't mama calling you. It ain't mama calling. It ain't daddy calling. It ain't the preacher calling you. It ain't mama or papa calling you. But listen, the call that Elisha received was a call from heaven. It was a call from God himself. Elijah said, this is between you and God, son. Hey, listen, the call that God puts on your life, it's between you and him. Oh, I know we got big decisions to make, and we got things to set before us, and we got to earnestly pray and say, God, lead me, direct me. I want to do the right thing. But listen to me, friend, the most important thing is that you answer the call and you get committed to God. Amen. Elijah said, man, what's that? That's between you and God. But I want you to notice something, and I'll move on. Verse 21, notice this. He returned back. He took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh, and with the instruments of the oxen he gave unto the people, they did eat. You know what he did? Look up here, friend. He burned the plow. He burned the plow. He lit the match and set that thing on fire. He burnt the plow. You know what Elisha was saying? He was saying, I ain't going back. I ain't going back to my old life. I ain't going back to what I was. I ain't going back to do what I want to do. I ain't going back to follow my own purpose and plans, but I'm going to burn the plow and say I'm all in. God, I'm yours. Sink, swim, survive, or perish. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm just going to burn the plow and say, God, you've got all of me. I'm not just made by you, but I'm made for you. And God, I'm just going to burn the plow and I am going to be committed to you. Amen. Some of y'all saying, preacher, that's awful crazy. That's almost fanatical. Can I tell you, that's nothing new in the Word of God. How many remember that Moses left the flocks in Midian? How many know Gideon left the farm? How many know that Amos left the herds and the fruit business? How many know that the disciples left their fishing boats and their nets? How many know that Matthew left the IRS? How many know that Paul left the religious ranks? Why? To be committed, to burn the plow and say, I'm all in and I'm going to serve God. And oh, can I tell you what we need in 2024? Listen, more than anything, it's men and women of God who are willing to burn the plow and be committed. We need men and women who are lost and undone to be saved. We need wayward folks who are in disobedience to get restored. And we need saints of God who are willing to be sanctified and consecrated and dedicated to burn the plow and say, I will be committed to God. Amen. Mama, papa, you know what your grandbabies need? They need you to be committed. Mom, dad, husband, wife, someone needs you to be committed. That's why Jesus said, listen, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in Colossians chapter 3, I love these verses. The apostle Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, can I tell you, listen, Elisha just said, I'm just going to burn the plow and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to burn the plow and I'm going to do his will. I'm going to burn the plow and I will be committed to God. Amen. And so we have the calling. Some of y'all are going to get a calling this morning, this week in revival. I hope you're here. I hope you come. I hope you bring somebody with you. Oh, listen, I hope you see your loved one saved. I hope you see your neighbor saved. I hope you see your coworker saved, amen. I hope you receive what you need. I hope this week you allow God to do a work in you for his glory and for your good. I hope this morning, as you feel the anointing, the Holy Ghost of God do a work in you, and you feel the mantle over your shoulder, that you'll say, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Lord, I'll answer the call, and I'll be committed. I'll burn the plow. That thing that's keeping me from serving you, that thing that's keeping me from being all in, that thing that has hindered my walk with you, that thing that has kept me from being the light I need to be, that thing that has kept me from being the witness I need to be, hey, today I'm going to burn that plow because I don't want anything between me and God. Amen. Amen. Hey, some of y'all looking at me funny. Listen, I left some awful nice weather to come down here and be with you. An hour north of us, there was 35 inches of snow, and this morning it was -4. I left some nice weather to come be with you folks, amen? I'm committed. And I hope you'll be committed. Lastly, can I say this? Not only do we see the calling, God put the mantle on his shoulders to Elijah, and he was committed to burn the plow and answer the call. But I want to say this. Lastly, I want you to see the continuation. Notice the continuation. The Bible said this, the last line of that chapter. The Bible said he arose and went after Elijah. You can't stay where you are and serve God. You can't stay where you are and expect to receive from God. You can't stay where you are. You got to get up from where you are and get where he wants you to get so you can receive what he has and do what he'd have you to do. He arose. And the Bible said he ministered unto him. Notice the ED after that word minister. That implies a continuation. He didn't just minister to him one time. He continually ministered unto him. There was a continuation. He received the call. And he was committed, but now we see a continuation. It amazes me how some folks lose their zeal after a while. I mean, when you first get saved, you're willing to charge hell with a squirt gun. When you first get saved, the pastor can say, I need somebody to mow the yard. Ooh, ooh, pick me. But after a while, sometimes that zeal begins to rub off. That determination, that excitement begins to wear thin. But I'm telling you here in this man of God's life, he answered the call. The call came upon him, and we see a continuation. That's why in John 3:31, Jesus said to them that believed upon him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, he said, continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This word continue is meno in the Greek, and it means to stay. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to remain, to stand. Oh, no wonder why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. There was a continuation. I'm almost done. Don't get nervous. Someone says this, preacher, did Elisha continue? Uh-huh. How do you know, brother? Many scholars believe that Elisha followed Elijah anywhere from 6 to 10 years. For 6 to 10 years, he faithfully followed his master and served him. You turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. You'll find that only did he answer the call and he burned the plow in his commitment, but he continued faithfully all these many years. They come to the Jordan River. The Bible said that Elijah took that same mantle that he laid across Elisha's shoulders all them years before. And the Bible said he took that mantle and he smote the waters. And they went across on dry ground. The Bible said that Elijah says to Elisha, he said, now, before I depart, before I leave you, he said, ask of me what you will. Do you know what Elisha asked for? Elisha had answered the call. He'd been committed and he continued. And in doing so, he saw something that Elijah had that he wanted more of. He didn't want less of it. Whoop! He wanted more. He didn't want to back up. He wanted to press in. He didn't want to give up and go back to the farm. He wanted to continue faithful and be what God would have him to be. You know what he said? He said, Elijah, I'd like to have a double portion of what you, of your spirit. Man, I like what I see in you. Man, that tastes good to me. Oh, the power of God draws me. Oh, the presence of God infuses me. Oh, listen, the provision of God moves me. I want what you have, and I want even more of it. Oh, church, it ain't time to back up. It ain't time to let down. It ain't time to quit. It ain't time to turn aside. But it's a time to get all in and be more of what God would have us to be. Amen. It ain't time for less. It's a time for more. It's time for somebody to burn their plow and say, I'm all in. That plow that's kept me from serving God, that plow that's kept me from being faithful to God, that plow that's kept me from doing what I need to do, I'm going to burn that thing this week. I'm burning that plow, and I'm going to be committed, and I'm going to continue. Did he continue? Oh, yes. To the very end, he followed that man of God and said, look here, Elijah, I want more of what you got. I want double of what you got. I like it so good. What I've seen in you. Let me ask you. Hey, mama, papa, mom, dad, husband, wife. Hey, son, daughter. Can someone look at your life and say, man, I'd like to have what they've got. Come on. Oh, I'd like to have a little more of what they got. Come on. Man, it moves me. It touches me. It impresses me. I want what they. Listen, Elijah said, man, you've asked a hard thing. But I tell you what. If you see me go, it shall be so. And if not, then it won't be so. The Bible said as they went on a little further, the Bible said there was a chariot of fire and horses that parted them. And Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Man, wouldn't you like to see that? And the Bible said Elisha watched him depart. And listen, he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then the Bible says something interesting. Listen. The Bible said, listen, that he rent his clothes in twain. And that very same mantle that Elijah placed across his shoulders 6 to 10 years before, Elisha looks down on the ground. Ooh, I remember that mantle. I remember that mantle. That's the mantle that he put across my shoulders that day when I was plowing the field, when he called me out from doing what I was doing to do what he had me to do. And listen, he didn't shun that mantle. He didn't walk away from that mantle. You know what the Bible said? Woo! He picked that mantle up. Praise God. Oh, I know there's a lot of scholars that will tell you the reason why Elisha rent his clothes in twain is because he was grieving the loss of his master, that he was grieving his master as he went away. And that may very well be true. But you know what I have thought a lot of times? I wonder if maybe Elisha didn't rent his own clothes in twain and pick up the mantle. And the reason why he rent his own clothes is because he thought, I don't need what I have anymore because I got what God wants me to have. What I need isn't sufficient, but what God has for me is more than sufficient. Oh, listen, I don't need what I have. I'm going to take up what God has. Oh, he rent his clothes in twain, saying, I don't need these garments anymore because I got the mantle of God, and I'm just going to continue to serve him faithfully. Amen. Wouldn't it be good for us to let go of what we have to receive what God has for us? He picked up that mantle and walked over to the waters. And you know what he did? He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he took that same mantle and he smote the waters. And the Bible said the waters departed hither and thither. And he walked over on dry ground. And listen to me. When the sons of the prophets saw him, the Bible said they knew that the spirit of Elijah rested on him. I want to burn my plow. I want to burn my plow, and I want to follow God. And I want what he has for me, and I want my loved ones to look at my life and not have to wonder or guess or take a second glance. I want them to know that the Spirit of God rests on me, that the power of God is evident in my life, not for my glory, but for his. Not that I may be exalted, but that he may be exalted. Oh, praise God. I want the power of God on me. I want the power of God in my marriage. I want the power of God in my home. I want the power of God in our ministry. I want the power of God in our churches. I want the power of God in our community. I want the power of God in our country. It's time we burn turn the plow and say God's way is the best way, and I'm just going to serve him. Amen. Oh, can I say this in closing? Many of you have heard of the old preacher, Vance Havner. Here's what Vance Havner said. He said, our Lord never put discipleship in fine print in the contract. He called on us to forsake all, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to love him more than anything else. We are not our own, but we're bought with a price. The personal property of Jesus Christ with no right to anything. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Alan Redpath declared this, the will of God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. Oh, the will of God, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Oh, can I tell you, when I leave here, all that's going to matter is what I've done for him. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody, as the singers come, just needs to burn the plow, whether it's a call to salvation, restoration, sanctification, consecration, dedication. I would to God that this morning somebody would just say, I'm going to burn the plow. As God drapes the mantle on my shoulders, I'm just going to answer the call, and I want to be committed to burn the plow and continue serving him and following him. And this morning you may be here lost and undone. You need to be saved. You may be here away from God. You need to be restored. You may be here saved and have a need. Listen, the same power of God that was available to Elisha is available to you and I. And I hope there's some saints of God this morning that don't want less of him, but they want more of him. There would be somebody that would say, preacher, I want a double portion of what I've had. I want more of God. I want his power. I want his presence. I desire his provision. I want more of God to be present in my life. Amen. As we stand across this building, would you come this morning on this first revival service? Would you come and have a little talk with Jesus?